Welcome to Talking Care, a caregiving journey, brought to you by St. Elizabeth and Hospice Toronto, discussing how best to care for a loved one or a friend while enriching their life and yours.
Although I'm currently caring for my husband, before her death, I actually took care of my mother for 16 years when she was living with Alzheimer's disease. It was hard, and I think one of the things I struggled most with was the change in our relationship and our roles. She'd always taken care of me. Now I was making her meals, giving her a bath, and changing her. It felt strange, and I felt guilty for feeling it wasn't fair, but I didn't know who I could speak to about it.
Life is different for my son than it is for other kids his age. He told me one day that his friends think he's boring because he won't go out. I know he would love to be spending time with his friends, but he instead stays home to take care of me. I have MS and I'm a single mom. I have good days and bad days. My son does all the washing and cleaning, and he also takes care of his younger sister when I can't. He's quite the little trooper, and he tries not to let me see that the situation bothers him. I appreciate his help so much, but I want him to be able to have more time for his friends and his school.
Well, today we have two guests with us. Larissa McSween is a social worker who has worked with Child and Family Services and is currently the manager of Hospice Toronto's Young Carers Program. Welcome to the program, Larissa.
Thank you.
Dina Mall is, of course, the executive director at Hospice Toronto.
Good morning, Murray.
Nice to have you with us.
Good to be here again. I wanted to mention before we start that today's episode, one of the caregivers was Sylvia, and you might recall her story from a couple of weeks ago when we spoke about sudden caregiving and how quickly it happens. She also mentioned at that time that she cared for her mother who was living with Alzheimer's disease for 16 years, and that was the role reversal that she was talking about in that first little vignette.
Mm-hmm. I do recall that. What Sylvia described almost sounds like a reversal of roles. Is this a common feeling for caregivers? Larissa, can you tell me a bit about how this happens and what it means?
Well, roles often define who we are, such as mother, father, sister, and within that there are certain expectations. And then role reversal happens when we find ourselves swapping roles due to the circumstances, such as between a child and parent, when the parent requires being cared for due to an illness. So it's not something that we are conditioned to do, because as the child, we are used to being cared for and provided for, and now we are actually taking on that responsibility with our parent, even to the extent of providing emotional support. My mother, for example, when she had terminal cancer, I was the one who had to prep her emotionally for her chemotherapy treatments and had to watch this very independent, fearless woman become very vulnerable and scared. And so I had to emotionally provide that comfort for her. So for many, the shift feels unfamiliar, it's uncomfortable, and it can be very hard because you love the person and even take pride in being able to help them, but you also resent the unfairness of the situation. And you may grieve your loss of the prior relationship that you had with that person. But it's okay, it's normal, and it's very common to have these feelings if you are a caregiver. As a caregiver, it's important to acknowledge your feelings and give yourself permission to have them, understanding how common they truly are. Finding out what supports are available in your community, whether it be practical aid or attending a support group, or even talking to someone who can just enhance your coping skills.
Yeah, just having someone there who maybe has experienced this themselves can really go a long way, can it, Larissa?
Exactly.
You know, Dina, I know you're involved with the Young Carers at Hospice Toronto. How did this come about, and what exactly is a Young Carer?
Well, Murray, we've run this program for about 3 years. As you know, Hospice Toronto provides support for people with a life-limiting illness when they choose to remain at home to receive care. And years ago, we noticed that children who were living in a home where someone was ill sometimes feel isolated as more of the focus goes to the person who themselves needs care. Mm-hmm. And so we started a program called Kit for Kits to support those children. But we also began to notice that a lot of the children were actually the care providers and might be preparing meals, helping with feeding, reading to someone. But surprisingly, we also noticed that it included things like toileting, bathing, and sometimes translation of some pretty sensitive legal and medical issues when the adults in the family were perhaps new Canadians mm-hmm. and didn't speak English. You know, that's not necessarily a problem, and not all children who provide care are young carers. But when it affects a child's ability to succeed at school, when it means they can't get their homework done, they can't study for an exam, they can't, or they're late, then, or when it affects them socially, then it really does create problems for a child, and that's when they're a young carer. And that's the kind of role reversal that Sylvia was referring to, even more obvious when it's a child who's taking on those kinds of supports. So 3 years ago, we received funding from Social Development Partnerships, federal government program, to support us to develop a toolkit for replication of a young carers program. And that's the program that Larissa is managing for us. One other thing I wanted to add, Murray, is that young carers don't just support family members who are ill. Mm-hmm. They also support family members with a chronic illness, who are coping with a disability, mental illness, or substance abuse. So fairly broad spectrum of needs that they're taking care of.
They have to grow up pretty quick, some of those kids, don't they?
Yeah.
Larissa, that sounds like a program that's really worthwhile. What kinds of supports are offered to children and their families?
Well, the Young Carers Program provides really fun social, recreational, educational, as well as skill development opportunities for children and youth who are caring for their family members. Resiliency and self-esteem are then increased by being with other kids who just really understand what they're going through. And as well, we also put them in an environment that really validates the important role that they play in their families and acknowledges them for that. And we also emphasize the positives and try to minimize some of the more difficult hardships. Mm-hmm. The goal is really to strengthen families by working with local partners to make sure people get the support they need when someone is affected by illness, disability, addiction, or a language barrier. And we work with an advisory committee of 50 members, which represent the different sectors of client families that we are trying to serve, such as CAMH, Holland Bloorview Kids Rehabilitation Hospital, and the MS Society. So we support a wide range of kids, ranging from those who are translating for parents and maybe missing out on school, to siblings who are caring for a brother or sister who may have autism. And on the one hand, we have like the first child saying, I've never had my parents come in for parent-teacher interviews because they just don't understand my teachers, so they just don't come. To another child saying, I get left out of everything because of my brother. Even when people come over, they only ask about him and not me. And we are amazed at the positive impact that kids get when they meet other kids who are caregivers, stating such things as, I'm not the only one that does this now. And that, along with feeling fully accepted for their feelings and situations with no judgments, even when they share their most challenging experiences, it's truly empowering for them.
You know, it touches your heart to hear these stories because they are just kids and they don't, they're having to deal with very mature issues at a young age. Dina, what can happen when these kids don't get the support or continue in a role that's beyond their years or ability to cope?
You know, Murray, that's a really good question. And I have to say on a personal level that one of the reasons for starting this program was that, you know, you and I have both seen kids in those roles as we were growing up and some of the impact. I know my daughter had a friend who was a young caregiver for a mother who had some substance abuse issues growing up, and it hugely impacted her life choices. You know, in Canada, there's not a lot of research that exists about young carers, but internationally there's a strong movement, and it includes studies on the outcomes of children who are young carers. In the UK, there are 350 programs supporting young caregivers. And when a child is taking on a role that impacts them socially or emotionally or academically, it can affect their future success in relationships, their life choices, the work situation, their ability to go on to further education, and their mental health. And so as a society, I think it's really important to realize that supporting young carers is about prevention as well, and helping to ensure that children who are affected by their caregiving roles find ways to succeed in school, to connect with friends, and to benefit from the positive aspects of caregiving rather than carry that emotional trauma into adulthood. And Marie, I think it's important to add that there are many good and positive experiences that come out of being young carers. You know, in our program, we emphasize leadership, empathy, and life skills for life. But you know, it's important as well to provide supports.
You know, it sounds like regardless of someone's age, caregivers can really be affected by the shifting of roles that often comes with caregiving, Larissa.
Yes, and I think it's just important for caregivers to remember that it is about loss of what was normal of the prior relationship that they had, and it's okay to grieve that loss. Know that it's normal to feel upset and to acknowledge those feelings, and try not to let those frustrations or other emotions build up. Figure out what your feelings are and what your needs are, and go after help to support them. So find your local supports in your community and find out what is going to help relieve some of that stress that you're feeling, and make sure to accept that help when it is offered. There is a list of resources on our website at www.hospicetorontotalkingcare.ca, and you can always call us for more information to find out how to get more support.
Larissa McSween and Dina Mall, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Talking Care, a caregiving journey, brought to you by Hospice Toronto and St. Elizabeth. For more information on today's discussion, call 1-877-787-7342. That's 1-877-787-7342. To listen to this episode again, suggest topics for future episodes, or browse helpful resources, visit www.stelizabeth.com/talkingcare. That web address again, www.stelizabeth.com/talkingcare.
Home is comfort and warmth. Home is family and memories. Home is where you want to be. We're St. Elizabeth, pioneers in home and community care. For over 100 years, we've helped people stay in their homes. We can help you or someone you care about. St. Elizabeth, nursing, therapies, and personal support provided in your home. Visit stelizabeth.com to order your copy of our Caregiver Compass, a valuable resource on caring for those you love.